Oh, great African ancestors who are always with us, we humbly offer to you our thanks for the many blessings you have given, the sacrifices you have made, and the suffering you endured so that we may be spared. Oh, great ancestors, we humbly ask that at this time, in this place, grace us with your presence. Join us and guide us to a higher understanding of our true nature and greatness. Oshé, Oshé, Oshé. Asabuhi Injema. Good morning. Remember the wisdom of your ancestors in order to become wise. Let me say that again. Remember the wisdom of your ancestors in order to become wise. African proverb. I'm Uhuru Akabula, and this is Melanated Woman. And this morning, we're going to be talking about our ancestors and genetic memory. Now, at one time, genetic memory was a theory, but they know now that it's not a theory, it's a reality. So if we are to remember the wisdom of our ancestors, how can we do that? How do we, African diaspora, or Kuta Wayinka, do that? How do we do that? You know, we have been separated from our homeland, traditions, culture, even our bloodlines and identities for over 5 centuries. So how do we remember what we don't know? Or do we know? Enter genetic memory. And there are many, many definitions, most of them scientific, for genetic memory. But when you whittle it all the way down, it's simply this. Genetic memories, or memories, are memories that can be passed down to later generations through genetic switches that allow offspring to inherit the experience of their ancestors. And that's exactly what genetic memory is. That's within the DNA. That is our program design, DNA. So, now, in addition to determining our physical characteristics, we're going to talk about DNA for a minute, but in addition to determining our physical characteristics, our vulnerabilities to certain diseases, traits, personality, is it possible that DNA helix holds some of the important memories of our ancestors? Is that possible? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to play a little piece, and I think you've heard it before if you've been on this show, but you really need to hear it again so we can continue along these lines. Here we go.
With that movie, I almost waited for a while to watch that movie because I didn't know how it would be affected by it. To play the character and get as deep in it as I know you go, was it emotional? Was it hard to shake it at night and when the film was over?
It was very hard to get into that. There was a scene, unfortunately, it didn't make the film. Steve, he shoots in series, which means like he won't yell cut while the cameras are still running. He'll just go back to one, hurry up again. And they were shooting the scene where my character Roberts was being dragged to the slave ship, and he was revolting.
Right.
He was frailing, you know, it's going crazy. And around the fifth time that we shot it, you know, Steve yelled cut, and something came over me. I don't know what it was, but I fell to the ground, and I couldn't stop crying and screaming. I'm like, ah, ah. And I couldn't even get up off the floor. It was surreal. And the stunt coordinator, he got on the floor with me, a white man. And he cradled me in his arms and he rocked me. He kept saying, "It's okay, Mike, let it out, let it out." And I screamed at the top of my lungs, man, for like what must have seemed like 15, 20 minutes. And like a cloud just passed over me and I got up and I was like, "Okay, let's go." And I think what happened to me was I was given a glimpse into what our ancestors must have went through.
Yeah. Absolutely, dog. Absolutely.
Now, that was a clip from the Arsenio Hall show. And his guest on that particular show was Michael K. Williams. You know him from The Wire. And he played Robert, a slave, in the picture 12 Years a Slave. And this happened to him. Did he experience genetic memory? Was what he doing triggering memory, ancestral memories? It is said that trauma in our ancestors and everybody's ancestors, even those of animals, mammals, are written into the DNA. It is deposited in the DNA. So it's a survival mechanism so we can remember, so generations to come can remember and avoid certain situations. But if it can do that, can it have all the memories? Well, new research from Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta has shown that it is possible for some information to be inherited biologically through chemical changes that occur in the DNA. During the test, they learned that mice can pass on learned information about traumatic or stressful experiences. In this case, a fear, they use the fear of the smell of cherry blossom. And in other words, this fear that was initiated into the lab mice, you know, would be recorded and remembered by subsequent generations. That's amazing. You know, research into the nature of DNA has revealed that the material, which is DNA, within each cell of our bodies has an important implication for who each of us are, who we are, you know, on many levels. You know, there are theories about DNA, and now they're becoming fact, but previously, there have been theories that suggested that we can tap into the nature of our DNA to uncover ancient memories. You know, now these theories aren't new. I don't know how many of you can remember or can go back that far, but in the 60s, there were scientists, psychologists, and researchers. They were experimenting, and they claimed that there may be keys that unlock our DNA that reveal experiences of generations of our relatives who have lived long before us. That was in the 60s. Now, this little point I'm about to make also, I'm not sure if you are old enough, those of you who are listening are old enough or have seen this, but in the 1988 movie Altered States, which starred William Hurt, he was the main character in this movie, and he was a research scientist. And what he did, he dived deep into his consciousness and genetic roots. And in the film, he not only relives ancient experiences of his ancestors, but he actually changes on a biological level. Now, that was a movie, you know, but this movie was reportedly based on the real-life research of prominent psychologists and medical researchers of the 1960s and 70s who used isolation tanks and pharmacological triggers to access deep DNA memories. That says a lot. So, going back to our ancestors, we have been told that, especially by the dominant religions, that ancestor worship or memory and what have you is a negative thing. It is not negative. It is a natural thing. And it's a lot that we don't know about ourselves as human beings and how our DNA, our minds, and all function in unity. If this is true, and if that information is in there, then we should begin to try to concentrate and trigger these memories. And I think over the years, a lot of people have found out that these things are triggered and just didn't know what it was. We've all had instances of where we remember something that we couldn't possibly remember, or we felt something that we possibly couldn't feel, or we recognized something that we have no way on earth of recognizing. As in the clip that I played with Michael K. Williams, you know, going through the acting drama triggered the trauma, possibly, of his ancestor. And I know there are those who have had similar experiences. Hello, Cherie.
Hello.
Hi.
O'Shea.
Hi. O'Shea. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
O'Shea. So, as I was saying about triggering memory, have you ever had an experience where you remembered something that you couldn't possibly remember, or felt something that you couldn't possibly feel, or knew something that there was no way that you yourself had gained that information?
Well, in the past year, I was, like most people, just on Facebook, going down my little feed line, and I just happened to run across a post from called Ancestral Prophet. And I just clicked on it. It was talking about how the experience of a white man going to a place where he's never been to before, and these people never seen a white man ever, you know. So I clicked on it, and I listened to the video. And as I was listening to it, just this sense of fear, as they kept talking about it, and they said it was a woman and a child standing there, and they're just looking, and the other men were trying to protect her because they'd never seen a white man before. And just this sense of fear and all-out dread came over me. I started shaking and I started crying. And I was like, there is no reason why I should be feeling this way. None at all. And, you know, and I think as soon as I finished watching it, if I'm not mistaken, I sent you a message saying that I don't understand why this feeling came over me, why I felt so scared, why I felt so terrified, and why I was crying. And it took me a while to get over it. And I was like, that was no way. That was no way. It was like somebody just took their arms and put their arms around me and was like, this is what I felt like. This is what this feels like. You know, and I'm like, I was like, wow. I was like, It was a wild experience, you know. And I mean, I myself feel that the first step really is we all need to, how to say, make a pilgrimage. We need to go home and step our feet on that land. Talk to those people there. Don't just take what the media shows us and tells us. Go back and embrace. Don't believe the lies that they're telling us, that they don't like us over here, or whatever. They're not accepting us over here, you know. So, I mean, it's just a first step, you know. We got to see somewhere the grass back and to bring the past back to us so we can remember and we can become a people and unify and just live our life and do what we need to do. I know I can't
well
remember
put.
It all now.
That's, no, you didn't. That was well put. And that experience, I remember you telling me about that. I think, and I do believe, in fact, I know, that all of us, you know, and I, when I say all, and at this point I'm including all of humanity, at one time or another has had that incident. There are some of us who have them more frequently, you know, and that depends on our biological makeup, you know, had them more frequently. And there are those who actually listen and pay attention. You know, we often are told about that little voice in the back of your head. You better listen to it. When you don't listen to that little voice, you get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
It's a possibility. That's the experience of those who have come before you, because that's who we are. We are the sum total of all of those who have come before us.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they all left information. And that information is within each of us, you know. And if we pay attention and if we stop swimming in the sea of denial that this does not exist and this is not real, this is not reality, we may be able to move along as a collective, as a collective. I myself have had several of those experiences, several. In 2005, I had the opportunity to do a one-woman show, and it was based on my great-grandmother, someone who I had never met, ever. And in doing this particular play, the last time I did the show was for all of the relatives connected with her. And there were quite a few people there, big audience. And a quarter way through the show, it was as though I moved back. That's the only way I can explain it. It was like something came over me, you know. And I went through the entire show, but I did not go through the show. And that's the only way I can explain it. And it was one of the strangest and most surreal incidents I have ever had. If I were pushed to the background and my grandmother, great-grandmother, came forward and told the story. It was amazing. And I thought I must be crazy. When it was over and I went to change, one of my cousins, Sophie, came into the dressing room with me, and she said, "What happened?" I said, "What? Did I mess up?" She said, "No." She said, "You were great." She said, "But I saw you when you changed." I said, "You actually saw it?" She said, "You changed." She said, "The expression on your face, the look in your eyes." She said, "Even the way you moved," she said, "you changed." So I know, and we all know, because I know we've all had experiences of this nature. You know, and one of the things that we as African diaspora, which diaspora actually is a Greek word that has been used to reply to the Jewish scattering, but as African diaspora need to do, is to look within ourselves, know that we are real, and go back, Sankofa, go back,
mm-hmm.
and listen to what our ancestors are constantly trying to tell us, what they're constantly trying to show us. Now, there are technological ways that nowadays that you can trace your ancestry, you know, genetic ancestry. There are all types of companies that do this. If you wish to do that, then I would say to research these companies carefully, pick out one, because they can do that. They can tell you where you came from. You know, they can tell you who your tribe was. You know, they can go back 1,000 years, and that's a good start. That's a great start. But go into yourself. Go within you. Listen. Listen. You know, we have had 500 years of brainwashing. We have been swimming in the sea of denial for a couple of hundred years. You know, we suffer from Stockholm Syndrome. And for those of you who are not familiar with Stockholm Syndrome, it's a syndrome that says that the captor, I mean, the captured, yeah, the captured becomes protective and loving to their captors. You know, you can find that in any psychology book. And it's based on something that happened in Stockholm in the 1970s. Okay? But look into yourself. Look into the mirror. See who you see. Now, it is true that the diaspora or the Kutinyika, which is Swahili for the scattered, have been mixed with other groups. Yes, we have. You know. However, the majority of your DNA is African. They have even found what we call Europeans to have African genes, genetics, source. We are the original people, and I can't expound on this enough. We are the original people, the original people. All that we know, all that we do has come from us. And yes, are the groups of what was once us uses everything that we have produced, you know. Civilization can be attributed heavily to the African. All that we know, science, medicine, everything. You know, those of us who have children and grandchildren need to teach our offspring and prodigy this. You know, be
emphasis
yourself
on that
first.
Word, we.
Yeah, we. We need to do this. You know, collectively. Teach them. If you don't know, learn. Learn who you are so that you may give this information to those who come behind you. And so the knowledge of who and what you are, have always been and will always be, can be carried through generations to come. Because we've only been out of it 500 years. But there are tens of thousands of years that preceded that. And we have to get over it. We must get over it, you know, and we must start by looking into ourselves, listening to the voices that have been speaking all the time, but we have not listened. Start listening. Start listening. If you're doing something and you get that feeling that you shouldn't do it, listen. Listen. Because that may not be you speaking to you. All probability, it is an ancestor trying to protect you. Once you learn about the power of your ancestors, you will understand your power, because there is no one more powerful than you. But we're dormant at this point. We must wake up and become once again the people who we have always been. The brightest, the best, the original. Listen to your ancestors and praise your ancestors. Acknowledge your ancestors, for they acknowledge you. Communicate with them. And I can hear people now saying, oh, how am I going to do that? Every Sunday morning, a whole bunch of you running and say, you're calling on Jesus Christ. All that's well and good. But call on your ancestors, because they are literally within you. Literally within you. And they have knowledge that you need. They have wisdom that you need. You need to listen so you can become a reconnected people and not the broken people that we are now. Remember the wisdom of your ancestors in order to become wise. African proverb. Well, I am done for today. I want to thank you for listening. Next week, we're going to talk about our health a little bit more. We're going to talk about immunization, our children, and the increase in autism among immunized children. This is something you need to know. This is something you need to be aware of so you can make decisions. So until next time, O'Shea. O'Shea. O'Shea.
O'Shea.